The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie on a tantalizing Tuesday.
Nice.
I don't know how tantalizing it'll be, but you know, whatever. Well, it'll be good.
Oh, for sure. If we don't say so ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, so how are you?
Better than you.
Yeah.
I think talk before the show.
Yeah, so I had my COVID vaccine over the weekend, and I'm just kind of down with some flu-ish symptoms. I'm hopeful that they will be gone by tomorrow, you know. So shot one is down, shot two sometime in April, then we'll be all vaccinated. And I know you said you didn't have any reactions at all, so.
Well, my arm was sore, and I was a little tired.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't bad. I don't want to say I'm a little nervous for the second one, which I get in a couple weeks, because I don't want to jinx anything, but I don't know if that makes a difference. But I'm looking forward to it. I am looking forward to it. I'm just not, we'll see. Because it'll different be good, for everybody. Yeah. You know, everybody I've talked to, it's, you know, one way for this person, another way for another person. Some people feel nothing. Some people get knocked down. And so I don't know what to expect. And I guess I shouldn't expect anything. And we'll see what happens.
Well, and I think it all depends on if you're sensitive to medications. Like, I am very sensitive to medications. You know, I just don't ever want antibiotics or any of that because I always get very bad side effects. So this was hard for me to submit to, you know, but just to get back to normal with the family. I think, and Casey and I travel a lot, we're always in and out of that airport in Seattle, you know. So I just felt like, well, maybe we just need to do this, you know. So.
Yeah, I'm lucky because I don't usually have reactions to vaccinations and things, which is good because I'm allergic to antibiotics, so I can't take antibiotics. So it's a weird little dance that I do with medications, you know, it's, and I just have to trust my senses when I feel like, yeah, I should do this. No, I shouldn't. And this, I'm like, you know what, if the universe puts it in front of me, then I'm supposed to do it. And so far, so good anyway.
And that's kind of what I thought, too. You know, I didn't look real hard for an opening. You know, Casey found it for me. And I'm just like, okay, well, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. I felt like the same thing. But I have had serious reactions to vaccinations before, like tetanus. Mm-hmm. I won't get a tetanus shot ever again, you know, unless I absolutely have to have it.
But you won't get a tetanus shot?
No, last time I had it, I became violently ill, and I was ill for a couple of days. I missed surgery because I was supposed to have surgery, and it was at the pre-op exam, you know, and they said, well, you haven't had one of those for a long time. Let's give you one. And I'm like, okay, well, we had to reschedule the surgery. I was so sick. So, yeah.
Wow.
I'm just a sensitive lily when it comes to medication.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you know, that's okay, though. I mean, it's not knocking anybody that's sensitive to stuff because there's a lot of people that are. So, but that would be tough to get the tetanus and be knocked out like that. Gosh, I had mine last year. My tetanus shot, my arm, God, yeah, that hurt for like 4 days.
Yeah.
Just my arm though. I mean, otherwise I was fine, but it's like you get hit with a baseball bat in your arm. And then it's like, okay, go function. I'm like, well, my arm's just hanging there like dead weight now. What do you want me to do? Like, that was just, it's intense. That one's intense. But at least that's all that happened. I didn't get knocked out or anything.
Oh,
so.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, funny.
But it's like all you can do to hold up your hair dryer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
For the next 4 days.
This one is worse than the COVID, I think, for sure, for the arm thing, you know, because my arm did hurt, too, from the COVID thing. But it wasn't horrible. You know, it was just
I agree. Tetanus was worse than that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I know. Yeah, I had a fun weekend. I was with a small group of women. We were spread apart, masks and everything, so that we could be in person. But we did our first shamanic priestess circle this past weekend, and it was so awesome and magical and transformative and such a deep dive. And what an honor to be able to hold space for these women. And I don't know, it was fantastic. It's the first circle that I've run, this first circle. So I've done other circles before, but this is the first priestess circle. And so I'm really excited about it. And it was, you know, I really, I hold a lot of respect for people who show up to something like this and don't know what to expect and then just go for it. You know, mm-hmm, when they understand what the, you know, the opportunity is and they just go all in, it's like, oh my gosh, you are amazing and strong and brave and all those things. And it's just, it's super cool to hold space for women that are ready to do that and just say, I don't even care anymore. I need to do this. And so I'm going all in. And so that was amazing. And, and Cindy, I saw she just joined. She's my amazing apprentice. And thank you, Cindy. You did awesome this weekend as well. And, we were talking about it afterwards and we were just like blown away at how cool it was. Just, yeah, everybody showed up energetically. Right. You know? So anyway, yeah, it was awesome. And I am, looking forward to next month.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So you've had these classes before. You just haven't run them?
Well, I've had different types of classes, similar just classes, but this one. This is a 7-weekend journey, not all in a row. It goes over 9 months. And so this is our first of 7 weekends. And so it's the first time I've run this series. And so that's what I'm super excited about, because it's just a little different than some of the things I've done before. And and it's a closed circle. So after April, then women, it's not open anymore to join. So you join by the next month, or you wait for the next circle, which is fine, because it's an opportunity for women to get to know each other and really trust the circle, instead of having people coming and going, where it gets kind of loosey goosey, you know, with people, like some people are here this weekend and then other people show up, and then sometimes a completely different group. And when you get to know people and you know that, you know, you can trust them and they're starting to know your story, you can really unfold and, you know, be vulnerable and open, because it's like you're all in it. And again and again, you're going deep into it. And so it's really, it's amazing. I've been through it quite a few times myself, and it's like, it's
awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
Awesome.
It was really powerful.
Cool. Cool beans.
Yeah, it is cool beans.
Cool beans. I love it. Sherry is saying they're showing that crazy Fear the Woods episode again on, the Travel Channel. That is so funny. They're just showing it all the time. I think it's hysterical. Oh, well, anyway, TV star, I guess I am. So yeah, we did a lot of shopping for the condo this weekend, because we're going out there soon, in a couple weeks.
Oh, wait, you shopped here for your condo out there?
Well, let me tell you something. There's really no place to shop on island, right? There is like,
I know, but wouldn't you shop in like Seattle or something and then bring it on the boat instead of bringing it on the plane and bringing it on the boat?
You know what? We're meeting a couple of friends in Seattle, from Kentucky, actually. So we're meeting them there and going right up to the condo, and they're going to help us decorate. So we're shipping out a bunch of stuff.
You're shipping it over. Okay. Got
it. We're shipping it. And we're not taking it.
I'm going to drag that all on the plane then.
No.
Okay, good.
And then we're ordering some furniture to be delivered and a new refrigerator and stuff like that. So we did a lot of that, but then I was also going over the evidence from our Humbird investigation a couple weeks ago, because we have the big reveal on Saturday. So that's going to be really fun. I'm excited for that one.
Cool.
because it was just such a crazy haunted location, you know, and it's, you know, there's just, we found a lot of stuff. So fun stuff. So we're getting ready for that. And yeah, I'm just busy. So it was hard for me to take a day and do nothing, you know, but I guess I needed it, right? I don't know.
Apparently.
But, yeah. Yeah. Hopefully tomorrow I'm okay. I mean, I didn't even take the dog for a walk today. Come on. That's just odd.
Yeah. That's cool.
So anyway, talking about investigations, we thought it would be fun to talk about some of the places and locations that we want to get to in the next year or two or three, maybe even. Both paranormal and cryptids. And, you know, I just, there's so many of them out there. And for me, it's not necessarily the big ones that everybody goes to. I prefer to go to the ones that very few people have been to, personally. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. Although I got to say, Waverly would be one that I would like to go back to, for sure. You know? Mm-hmm. But I think...
Yeah, we were just back there last year, actually. Mm-hmm. We went in May.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. It's such a cool place to go. And yeah, I just like the... You know, anytime you go to any location, whether it ends up being haunted or not, it doesn't, right. It almost doesn't matter. Like it does, but it doesn't, because you're kind of, yeah. I mean, I know you're there to investigate, but it's just the history,
yes.
And the building itself and being in a place that housed so many people and had so much transformation. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing to be in those places,
oh, yeah.
You know, and there you are sitting in the, on the rooftop at 2:30 in the morning of a place that you just, you can't go into unless you have permission. And mm-hmm. It's just, it's so cool to just have a place like that to yourself.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's very fun. And we haven't been there since, I think we were there like 7 years ago. It's been quite a few years now since we were there.
Yeah. I think we went a couple years after you guys did that trip. We went there after that, and then we had to go back because I'm like, we got to check that out again.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get back there. I don't know when. It won't be this year, you know, maybe next year or something. But that's a really good one. And I, you know, one of the things that ghost hunters have always said about Waverly is that you don't hunt the ghosts, they hunt you. And that is so true about that place. I felt like I was being hunted the whole time I was there. You know, they were just after us.
Yeah, it's interesting going there. The last time we were there, it was very, they were messing with us, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they were hunting us as much as messing with us, because we'd stand in a certain area and we could hear noises coming from, you know, that direction, whatever direction it was. So we'd go over there and then we'd hear the noises coming from that direction or above us or below us. And so it felt like we were kind of being led around, and you know, and it's hard with an area or a location like that because it's very echoey, and so you don't know. But when you're standing somewhere, it's clearly coming from a certain direction, so then you get over there and now it's coming from a different direction. It's like, what the heck is going on here? So
I know,
it's cool. And actually last time we had two guys in our group, Tim and Steve, and both of them, not knowing that this happened to each other, they got touched, like fingers running through their hair in the exact same location in the middle of a hallway in front of the same room number. And we had split into two different groups. So they didn't know that this had happened. It happened to Tim first. Mm-hmm. And then Steve came along later and we watched it happen to him, even though he didn't know that it had happened to Tim. And it felt female. I mean, they, according to them, it felt like a female thing. So it was pretty interesting. You know, I know a bunch of other things happened, but that was like, what? Oh, wow. Crazy.
Yeah.
Someone's liking the boys here.
Oh, you know, and it's such a big place. It's such a ginormous building, you know? And for me, I think it was the fourth floor. Is that the floor where all the surgeries took place? That was really a scary one for me. Not scary, but I sure didn't want to go down there, you know, and because it was so haunted, and I think I cried, you know, they imposed their feelings on me and I cried for like that whole floor. It was just an awful feeling of sadness and desperation and hopelessness that came over me there. And, you know, I'm always the first one down the hall. Right. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to go down there, you know, but we did. But yeah, that was and then come to find out that it was the surgical floor, which, you know what they did to those people back in the day. So yeah, that was wow. I want to go back, you know, for sure, and we will get there. But I think of all the places that I would like to go, that's probably the only one that's famous, you know, that a lot of people have been to. How about you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there are places that I've already been to that I would like to go back to, of course. Mm-hmm. But I think about a location that I haven't been to, and this is a popular location. It is on a lot of people's radars, but it's the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to go there. It's in West Virginia.
Is that in Pennsylvania?
No, West Virginia, I think.
Oh. Okay.
Let me look.
Yeah, I was thinking about a different West Virginia. One then. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it's West Virginia. Anyway, yeah, it's been around for since the mid-1800s. Yeah, constructed between 1858 and 1881. I'm looking on their website here. It's the largest hand-cut stone masonry building in North America. And the second largest in the world, next to the Kremlin. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Anyway, the Kremlin?
So it's the largest hand-cut stone masonry building in North America and is purportedly the second largest in the world beside the Kremlin.
Oh.
So Kremlin that has it's the largest hand-cut stone masonry building.
Yeah.
According to this website.
Interesting.
I don't know if that's true, but we'll say they say it's true, so there we are. And it follows the Kirkbride plan again, mm-hmm. with those expanding wings mm-hmm. in a staggered formation like the Waverly does, you know, that we were just talking about. So so it says that assures that each of the connecting structures receives an abundance of therapeutic sunlight and fresh air. And it was originally designed to house 250 people. It says souls, but people originally, right? Opened to patients starting in 1864 and reached its peak in the 1950s with 2,400 patients in an overcrowded and generally poor conditions.
Wow.
Yikes.
Oopta.
Designed to house 250.
There were 2,400. Yeah. Okay.
2,400. That's
2,400.
I didn't realize it was that full.
That's crazy. That's crazy. But there have been, that is a very popular one, I think, with and paranormal people. You know, there's another one that I have found some documentation on that's down in Tennessee, and I don't think they have it open to paranormal groups. I don't know who has it, but it's like another old sanatorium. I want to say it's Memphis, maybe. See, that interests me. I would like to be one of the first ones that goes through something like that. It's like NOPEMing. When they opened up NOPEMing, like our group was one of the very first ones that went through there. Because it's just so cool. It's like, okay, you're one of the first people to experience it, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know what the name of it is. It just occurred to me because I had found it somewhere. And the pictures that I saw, because it was like an abandoned website somewhere, you know, that somebody had seen it, and it's big, and it's down in Tennessee, and I think it's Memphis maybe. And it's an old, not a tuberculosis sanatorium, but feeble-minded sanitarium, right? Is that what they called them back in the day? And you know, so much abuse went on in those. That's why they're just so, I mean, those people were so horribly treated, you know. It's just Sherry's asking, are there any very small locations you want to go to? Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, for
sure. Small locations. Yeah. What's the house? There was two houses that were like 150 miles apart from each other, and Ghost Adventures went there at the same time. They split their group, I believe.
Oh, really?
Didn't they split their group? It was not the Shelley House or something like that. I can't remember what it's called. Someone in the chat room is going to know. And I don't know why I'm drawing a blank at the names, like Sherry House, Shelley House, something. I don't, and maybe I'm totally screwing that part of it up, but there was an episode where they went to the two houses 150 miles apart, and they were getting a lot of the similar experiences or something, you know, someone would feel something at one location and something was happening to someone at the other location that was like, is that kind of connected? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I can't remember what that is called. It's somewhere in the Midwest, I thought. Anyway, it's a tiny, tiny house. I can't remember what it's called, though. Anyway, if I think of the name of it, I'll let you guys know, because that's not helpful. But yeah, yeah. I love doing small locations. It's just, mm-hmm. you can have like what, three people in a location, and then
you can't have a lot of people for sure.
Yeah. You run out of room. So
yeah. Or people stay in the vehicle and some people, you know, and you switch off and that's just too hard.
It's hard because then you fall asleep.
But yeah, even smaller.
You can't sit in the car. You
know, yeah, right? But even smaller places, like, you know, there's a sanatorium, a tuberculosis sanatorium north of Bemidji I would love to get into. I mean, when I was with Sim, we asked the owner many times if we could just do an investigation, and he absolutely refused. But it's on a lake up there. It's north of Bemidji, and it's just terribly haunted. So they say. We have driven by a few times and taken some photos just of the building and gotten mm-hmm. some crazy things in the windows. And I mean, you can just feel them, right? But it's a smaller sanitarium, right? Or sanatorium. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think it was designed for maybe 50 to 100 patients, but it was open for a long time. And that one, they even had a crematorium on premises. So the people who died, they would cremate. Unfortunately, they strewn their ashes in the lake that it sits on. And so now the lake is filled with mercury and it's just so polluted. It's ridiculous. But after it was used as the sanatorium, and what's interesting about that one is there was like a woman way back at the turn of the century, so like 1910, the doctor in charge was a woman, which, okay, that was very unusual back in those days. Her name was Dr. Ghostly. Okay, that's pretty cool, right? But of course, because she was a woman, everybody said she was a witch, right? Because, you know, she had these healing powers, but I don't know how many people got healed. But there were a lot of deaths there, like in the thousands, I think, because this sanatorium served like several counties up there. And I think the only reason why it's still standing is it's full of asbestos, right? And it costs a lot of money to raise those sanatoriums. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at it online here. It looks like it's Lake Julia Sanatorium.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it closed in 1968. Yep. It was a rest home after 1954.
Yeah.
And closed in 1968. So it's been sitting there not used since 1968.
Vacant. And, you know, like I said,
that's
we've been
a long time.
Yeah, because we've done extensive investigations up near Bemidji. So, mm-hmm. you know, we've done, when I was with Sim, we did a lot of some coffee chats up there. And so I'm going to post this picture of this window that I took a picture of. It's one of the windows. I believe it's on the top floor. I don't know what it is, but I went back and found it because I thought it was very intriguing. It looks like a woman looking out. And the second photo, and I couldn't find the second photo, but I did a couple of photos, you know, like we do, boom, boom, boom. You know, we were standing on the road taking mm-hmm. these pictures. Turns out that, you know, later when we were reading more about it, that was the floor the women were housed on. So quite intriguing. You know, I know that Jerry every once in a while will call the owner and say, you know, just let us do a paranormal investigation, you know. But apparently what he said was when he bought it, there were lots of people trespassing to get in, to go through it, you know, mm-hmm. and he put up fences. He said, absolutely not. So he's done with it. Right. Which is sad. It does look like that, but it's not in the second picture. And I couldn't find the second picture, but it's just, you can feel it. Like even across the lake when you're looking at it, it's just like emanates all this crazy energy. So that is one place on my list. Someday I will get in there for sure. But that's a smaller place. So it's still one of those healthcare facilities that has lots of people have passed away there. Lots of people have been cremated and thrown in the lake. You know, let's just be frank here. Yeah, it's got a crazy past. It was used as a nursing home after, you know, the fact that it, you know, after tuberculosis was, you know, no longer a big deal. So that is one place I would sure like to go, you know.
You know where I'd like to go? It's not a small location, but it's one of the places that has been on my list, and I don't think I'm going to ever get in there. I've been in part of it. But the Kirkbride up in Fergus Falls,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've been in the small buildings. Legit, we had permission, and the people with the keys let us into all of the buildings except for the main building. And I'd love to get into the main building and do an investigation. I know there have been some groups in there in the past, but and I know the friend of mine that got the connections to get into the other buildings, he filmed a movie in there. And so that's how we were able to get the connections to get into the other buildings, but we weren't allowed to go into the main building. And I'd love to go into the main building because it was the small buildings, the different quarters, the nurses' quarters and the other buildings were really active, really active. So now, I'd love to get into the main building.
Did they tear it down though? Weren't they going to tear it down?
It's been off and on. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they've torn it down, but it's been on the table. I can't even think of how many times I've seen it come through the news about, hey, we're going to tear it down. No, we're going to renovate it. No, we're going to tear it down. Nope, we're going to do this with it. And so I don't think it's been torn down as of yet.
Yeah.
I haven't looked recently, but it seems to go on the chopping block off and on, you know.
Yeah, because every once in a while I see something from somebody that I know up north saying, oh, we have to stop this, we have to stop this. But I really thought it was kind of a done deal maybe a year or two ago or something, but obviously not. You know, it must still be there.
Yeah, Karen in the chat room said, no, it's not down yet. And I didn't think it was. It seemed like it goes on the chopping block, though, every couple years. They just, and I don't know why, I suppose, why hasn't something been done with it? It's probably expensive. You know, I can't imagine what would need to be done to bring it up to code and make it safe. Because like you said about some other buildings with asbestos or whatever, and just code in general, I'm sure. But it's a cool looking building from the outside.
It is.
And just all the energies and everything that's going on in the smaller buildings. I would love to go into the big building. Boy, talk about spirits haunting you. That place would do it. I mean, they were after me like crazy in the small buildings. I was, every time I turn around, there was someone following me, chasing me, harassing me, you know, threatening me. There was, I mean, every location. I went to one of the little Four Season porches that they have outside. You know, it's all screened and thing. It's all... Yeah. You know, they're all trashed now, but, you know, the screens are coming out of them and stuff. But I had one of the spirits, she followed the tunnel under the ground to get out there to talk to me because for whatever reason, she had to stay connected to the actual building. She couldn't just walk the property, but she was able to follow the tunnel and get to me that way. And so she was able to stay just close enough to that tunnel to give me the 1-2 about why I wasn't supposed to be there and I better keep my mouth shut if I knew it was good for me. And she was mean. She was really mean. Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, oh gosh, I want to get in there and find out where you hang out all day. Like, where are you from? She was some kind of administrator, which was odd for a woman to have her position. But she was really strict and I apparently was pretty good at it. And as high up as a woman could
go. She's still there.
And she's still doing it. Yeah. Karen in the chat room said it probably costs a fortune to tear down and dispose of properly as well. Yeah, probably. Nurse
That's
Ratchet.
Exactly
yeah, maybe kind of like a Nurse Ratchet. Karen in the chat room said Nurse Ratchet. Maybe kind of, I don't know that she's an administrator, but maybe the nurses, I think. I can't remember.
I think that's why a lot of these buildings are still standing, right? Is because it just costs too much money to take down, you know? So then they just let them pretty much rot. But my idea is why not let people investigate and, you know, maybe they could, you know, make a few bucks, you know, put a few bucks in and have people and do paranormal tours, you know?
I know that's what a lot of like Waverly's and stuff are doing. I mean, I'm sure it's a struggle that I don't know how they make ends meet because I can't even imagine. But I mean, if you could open it up in a way that's safe, you know, if you have to block off a couple of, you know, wings or halls or whatever, just to keep people safe if it's not safe. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what is Waverly charges? What, $1,000 or something a night?
I think minimum
for the
like
overnight.
$1,200, isn't it? I don't remember.
Maybe it's more than that. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I mean, but you have enough people and you can split it up. It's not bad, but you know, you can charge $1,000 a night to have people, you know, do some paranormal investigating and put that money towards, you know, having someone working there at night and then repairs and all the taxes and stuff, I'm sure.
I mean, that's what, I know. I think it would be really, you know, there's so many places like that. Just here in Minnesota, that I think, you know, Noel Pemming is another one. It's too bad they let that go so far.
Aren't they fixing it up, though? I thought they were.
I heard they were. I heard they had a laundry list of things they needed to do from the fire department so that they could bring people back in. I sure hope they do, because I would love to go back. I think, I know you had a bad experience there. I thought it's so crazy active, at least when we were there. We were there in January. So we had it was like an ice skating rink because the roof leaked.
Yeah,
so
that's not safe either.
It wasn't.
If it was cleaned up, I'd go back.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, and we just had experiences everywhere there. And I just, wow, that was like the most coolest place. And you know what? It's already half hour. So we will be back in 2 minutes. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para X Radio Network.
If you're looking for a truly unique podcast experience, we have you covered. Spirit Bayou with CJ Dunham airs live from the Third Coast in Southeast Texas on Tuesday and Fridays at midnight Eastern Time, covering Creole folklore and folk magic to strange paranormal activity to new equipment for the field. CJ Dunham is a Catholic swamp witch, a devotee to our Mother Mary in the Trinity, a true believer in our Lord, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. Peace be with your spirit and the spirits by you.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction.
We are ready to scare you.
Para X.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shunt, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network. And Stephanie and I tonight are talking about places that we want to go to investigate or check out, you know, if it's paranormal or even a little squatchy. We haven't talked about that yet, Steph.
Yeah, I know. You know, the thing with the squatchiness is Minnesota is so full of squatchy areas that I couldn't even pinpoint a place where I could say I'd like to go, because we've been to so many and there are more. You know, there's a place up north by the border that we need to return to, because that was really squatchy. It's like boggish, crazy. That's where we had Josie saw something, Carrie saw something, and it was just too wet. We couldn't get back in there. So hopefully we'll get back there this year. We were supposed to go back in the fall, and I can't remember what happened. We decided to do a different location, but that for sure is one place that really intrigues me, because we had a lot of people that came to our squatch chat up there who just told all kinds of stories about this hole, and it runs for miles. You know, it's just boggy country up there, and wow, for sure. I think that's where we'll go for sure at some point this fall. But talking cryptids, the other place I'd like to go back to is the Poplar Trestle, because wow, we've had a lot of crazy things happen there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did like the Poplar Trestle.
Yeah. Well, because we investigated with you guys when we went down to Crypticon. Mm-hmm. And we did it twice. So we did it in the evening, and I think we went back in the morning before we left the area. And we did get some EVPs. And I don't know what's going on down there, but it's a crazy place, you know. And just there's a supposedly a cryptid there that's called the Goat Man. right? Is it the goat man? The goat man of the public. They call him the public monster. And he lures people up onto this railroad trestle to their death, right? Because it's an old railroad trestle that looks honestly like it's not in use anymore. But the trains actually run pretty frequently, you know?
Yeah.
And so it is said that he lures them up there somehow. And then the trains come and they can't, you know, then they fall to their death or they get run over by the train or whatever. But I had that experience, you know, the year before we were all there, we had went to check it out too, us girls, because we had been at CryptidCon that year too. And gosh, all of a sudden that feeling overcame me and I just felt like, oh my God, I have to get up to the trestle, you know? And poor Katie was, you know, trying to pull me back. I said, come on, we can climb this fence and then we can get up to the trestle, you know? And then suddenly something overtook me and said, what are you doing? You know? And then it was like, it was gone. You know, the feeling was gone. But there is something there, something very pervasive that does make you feel like you really need to get up there. I mean, I experienced it. Is it a goat man? Is it something else? I don't know. But it's very fascinating. And we had, you know, we got a few EVPs when we were there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it was interesting because we went last year. I took the group that I was with last year, said we got to check it out since we're so close because we were at Waverly and we just had to go. And so we went. And it wasn't even nighttime, which is fine because it's kind of hard to see because there's not really anything else going on around there. And so we went during the day and there was a little memorial set up for someone who was like 16 years old and she had died climbing up there. And it was just awful to see that. And that had just happened the year before. I mean, so this stuff is still happening. This isn't old news.
Yeah.
And so we just get done looking at this memorial and paying our respects. And I'm telling everybody, don't leave the sidewalk. You know, it's not a sidewalk. It's like a bike path kind of thing that goes under the bridge. And I'm like, okay, everybody stay on the bike path. We're going to do some EVP work. We're going to, you know, check out the energies here. We're going to hang out for a while, see what's going on. And we got to keep going. I barely turn my back and half my team is climbing up the embankment towards the trestle. I'm like, what are you people nuts? I'm like, what are you doing? And so it was like trying to herd cats, you know, trying to keep them back down on the path. And it was just like, and it wasn't just the guys. I'm like, what is happening here? I couldn't keep them off the grass going up towards the trestle. I'm going to go a little further. I want to go a little further. I'm like, no. Finally, they came down. They didn't go anywhere that, you know, that they would have gotten into trouble. But still, they're heading in that direction. Yeah. I'm like, what is with you guys? And they're like, I don't know. I just want to go a couple more feet.
See?
And, you know, every time that I've been there now, that's what happens with at least one person. It's like, I just want to check out a couple more feet. I just want to go a little further. Yeah. And
because
I don't get it.
It really does. It gets a hold of you. And I don't know what it is. That's why I'm saying I would sure like to go again and just kind of, you know, it would be good to go there and almost do some kind of a little ceremony or something and see what speaks to us and see if anything comes through because something's there, be it a goat man or whatever, it is something. And, you know, I have this picture that I took when I was there, and I don't know what it is, but it sure looks like a goat man to me. And it's like in a, let me see if I can get it in the chat room. It'll take a minute because I'm going to have to, it's on my phone. So
no, that's
I'm
going
to have to figure out a different way.
Yeah, no. You know, one of the places that I'd like to go and look for a cryptid, and I know I've talked about this before, but I don't know where because I don't think that it's Mothman. You know, I have this weird fascination with Mothman. And I want to, you know, you don't go to Point Pleasant to look for Mothman anymore because Mothman isn't there anymore as far as I know. I mean, maybe there's some recent sightings, but I don't think so. So it's like, where do you go to look for Mothman? I don't know, but I want to go to the places that Mothman might be and investigate because I don't know. It would scare the heck out of me. Like, no lie. If I came face to face with, I'd rather meet anything else than Mothman. I don't know, but I feel compelled. It's probably that whole goat man, you know, syndrome, you know, where you just feel compelled and you don't know why.
Yeah.
So I just have this fascination with Mothman that I'm like, gosh, man, if there's some current sightings, which I haven't looked lately, every once in a while I dip into the pool and look around and see if there's any current sightings, but I haven't looked lately, I'll say, but I would love to do some investigating with looking for Mothman. That would be awesome.
And see, I think he's just not one to deal with. You know what I mean? Because I've heard stories, you know, there was Aaron Ryder had a show on, and I think I've said this before a couple years ago, and they talked about the Mothman and they went up there into Point Pleasant And there were a couple of paranormal investigators that went up to those. It was like an army kind of installation, right? Where they had where Mothman was seen. And they had this incredible EVP where they said, you know, the EVP said something about, I am here. You know, they had bad luck for years. I mean, it followed them home. They just had nothing but bad luck. And then they came back and they fought, they brought them back up there on the show that Aaron Ryder produced. And I don't know what happened. And I never found it again. I saw only part of it. You know, I didn't see the whole thing. But I mean, apparently that's happened to other people too. They go looking for the Mothman and then bad things happen, you know, and then it keeps, bad luck happens to them for a long time. So I don't know. I don't know. I found the picture. I put it up in the chat room. I don't know what that is, but it sure is interesting because that was when I still wanted to get up there on the trestle. So interesting stuff.
Well, and honestly, I don't know if it's the photo quality. You look kind of buzzed out.
Oh, yeah, like, because I wanted like to get up on the trestle. I wanted to get up on the trestle.
I mean, it doesn't even look like you. It looks like something took over you. Right? I'm not worried about whatever's behind you. I'm worried about you. Like,
I know.
You almost look possessed.
I know, mm-hmm. Right? And poor Katie was like, no, you can't do that. And she was like, you know, coming after me. And she said, well, if you go up there, then I'll have to go up there with you. And oh, my God, and we're not doing that. And, you know, and then all of a sudden it just kind of went gone. You know,
your eyes look weird.
I know.
In that photo.
It is just it, it
the
is
photo
just
quality.
Weird.
Well, yeah, but I know what the photo quality
is
not good,
quality,
but
and it's a still shot from a video we took, actually. You know what I mean? So
still,
yeah, it's there. I know it's crazy, but so yeah. So I would love to go back to the Public Trestle. I would love to go to look for Dogman in Wisconsin. You know, there's a few places in Wisconsin where they say he's prevalent, but they also say there's a few places right here in Minnesota. We just can't, you know, when I get the girls up north, it's like, you know, there's so much Squatch up there that we almost end up looking for Squatch. You know, of course, we have our eyes and ear open to everybody else, everything else, but they just kind of prevail, you know?
Yeah.
So, I would love to go out to, you know, and I need to go to find Pepe, you know, and like Pepe here, but I would love to go to Lake Champlain out in New York. And take Katie up on her offer to, you know, take us out and look for that for Champ, you know, the lake monster there.
You know, I've wanted to go back to Loch Ness. I know we're talking about, you know, United States kind of stuff. But when I was out there, boy, would I like to get a boat out there and look, because it's just that lake is weird. It's the energy there is so weird. And I was up in, I think it's pronounced Urquhart Castle. Anyway, it's in ruins, but you can still, like, it's interesting how you can go to other countries and stuff is falling apart and they're like, yeah, go ahead and climb around. If you hurt yourself, it's your fault, you know? And here it's like something's falling apart. They either tear it down or block it off or whatever, which I get, you know, but it was cool that we could just go walk around up in there and they're like, just be careful. Don't fall off. And, well, I don't even know if there's anybody there. There might've been. Anyway, nobody was like touring it though. When I was there, it was just, we had the whole place to ourselves. So,
yeah,
but it was eerie because you could be up in the ruins of this castle and overlooking this Loch Ness and the energy is just so wild. I'd love to go back and get in a boat though and go on the loch.
Me too. See, I think that the boat thing is, that's why, you know, Katie, I do talk to her every once in a while and she keeps saying, why don't you come out? Why don't you come out? Yeah. There's just not enough time to do everything. Right. But yes, I sure would love to do that. And hopefully someday I'll get to do that, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's not just a weekend trip. So
no, it's a ways out there unless you flew, which we could fly. But, yeah, but that would be awesome sauce. So yeah, cryptids are everywhere. I mean, they're even close to town. I mean, we're finding all kinds of crazy evidence right here in, you know, my little suburb, can I just say? So they're everywhere. And I know that, you know, they were here before and they're here now, just like everything else. The cities have expanded, but they're still here. They're still here. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go far to find them, you know?
Yep. Well, and I think I mentioned before, this summer, I'm going to do a little experimenting out here on the property. Because we're out in the country, and so it's like, why not try and do a little UFO action out here?
I know, you like the UFOs.
Well, I don't know if I like them. I'm intrigued, and I want to see if we can make something happen. And it's an area in the Twin Cities, you know, in the outskirts of the Twin Cities, that typically has a lot of sightings. There's mm-hmm. a lot of sightings in the north and northwest suburbs. So, I'm excited to get a little group together and see what we can do this summer. You know, I don't mm-hmm. want to sit out there quite yet because it's still a little chilly.
Yeah.
And I hope, you know, the otherworldly beings understand. I don't want to sit out there quite yet. But yeah, that's one of my plans for this summer, is doing a little bit of UFO investigating, or calling in. We'll say calling in, because it'd be easier for them to come here than me to go find them. You know, I'd rather just keep giving them directions on how to get to my house and then see what happens.
I don't want them anywhere near me. I would not do that.
If you're not in the group, I will not invite you.
that's just like Mothman. Same thing. No, there are just certain things I won't do. So those are some things that are on my list. You know, the other one is, you know, we investigated with the SIM crew. We investigated it was a tuberculosis, a very small tuberculosis sanatorium up north that was highly active. Oh my gosh, if we could get that again. I know Jerry has been working on the owner. That would be awesome. We just investigated this small little hotel and bar that nobody knows about that is crazy active. I think the SIM crew will probably be going back there. I hope they ask me back, because I will go. It's crazy. You know, and I would like to go back to Sandhaven. Sandhaven is where I'd really like to go. And someday.
What's Sandhaven?
Sandhaven is that one that's up by the Canadian border up in North Dakota. I think I even found here. So here's this. I found this online. These people were there not too long ago. I'm sure they were trespassing, but they were just there to take pictures. They weren't there for a paranormal investigation. But it kind of shows the property and how crazy it is. And I do need to see if they won't let us in. It's owned by the tribe up there. So it's the Turtle Mountain Reservation. I'm hoping someday. I just got it. You know what? I really just need to call them and ask them and see who I can talk to up there. And see if we can get in, because yeah, that's one of my to-dos. One of my, for sure, most exciting places that I can go, I think, because I think it's crazy. It was, after it was a tuberculosis sanatorium, it was a mental institution. Feebly minded, I believe they called it. And it's big. It's big. It's huge. So, yeah. So those are my bucket list.
Yeah, I'm looking at Sandhaven, and it looks like Ghost Adventures was there in 2017. Of course, where haven't they been? They've been everywhere.
I know.
That looks like an interesting building. It looks big.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look huge, but it looks...
I think there's several buildings, and I think they're really in disrepair. But from what I've heard...
Yeah, it does say on the website that it's in it's been left to decay, is what it says. So it's falling apart. But it looks like a big building. It looks a lot like Waverly in some aspects.
Right. That same kind of bat wing, and Nopeming is a really big one too. That's really a huge one as well.
That's not as big as Waverly by far.
No, but it never ends, and it's just kind of like a straight building. So Waverly is kind of like the bat wing kind of formation, mm-hmm. but Nopeming just went on forever. I thought it was just like, it just kept going.
I didn't think it was that big.
And then it was another section and another section. And it was like, oh my God,
Yeah, I don't know. Nopeming, if it was cleaned up, I'd go back, because we did have some interesting, we had the SB7 going, mm-hmm. and we were getting towards the end of the investigation. I remember we had just some interesting activity, but we were all just kind of thoroughly disgusted by then.
Yeah.
To, because of how filthy it was and nowhere to sit, and it was sloppy and messy and mm-hmm. asbestosy. And mm-hmm. so thankfully we had masks. We were wearing masks, but we had said, we had this the speaker going from the SB7, and we said, well, I wonder where we should go. Should we go to the top floor or the basement? And the SB7 said basement, like immediately. And so one was like, well, that's cool. I mean, I know it's SB7, but anything could have popped out or nothing could have popped out. And mm-hmm. it said the one of the two words that we said, you know, where should we go? And it didn't say like Oklahoma. It said yeah. basement, you know, yeah. so it didn't say turtle. It said basement. So, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I like the SB7. It's not the end all be all, but I think it's cool when stuff like that happens. Cause you go really that, what are the odds of that coming yeah. out like that?
Oh,
so,
yeah. oh, absolutely.
And that was over at NoPemming. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. yeah, it was, if it's cleaned up, I'd go back, but otherwise forget it. I think I actually threw away everything I was wearing when I got home.
Well, and you were there in June, right? And June, so it was something rainy, like that, yeah. icky, moist, you know, anyway.
It had been raining for moist. Weeks. Yeah. It was, all the windows are broken. The ceiling has yeah. got holes in it. The roof has holes in it.
Yes.
Yeah, so everything yes. is soaked. All the ceiling yes. tiles have fallen onto the ground and mushy and, ugh, yeah. ugh.
See, that was gross. See, like I said, we were there. We were like one of the first people that were in there. And we went in January because I had to go. I said, we're going. I don't care if we free. And it was cold. But there was none of that. I mean, because the roof is holy, there was, you know, a lot of the floors had a layer of ice on them. I could have worn skates, you know. But we didn't have any of that, you know. And it was cold. Like I said, it was cold. But, you know, whatever. We squash in the cold. So that's no big deal.
Oh, yeah, cold is different than sloppy.
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying.
So, particles in the air.
Yeah, because we had none of that. Because, see, it was all frozen. It was all encased in ice when we were there. But, and we had a lot of, I can't remember what floor we were on. The second, maybe? I'm thinking it was the second one that we had just a ton of activity on. But we kind of had it. There was a lot of activity in that theater room, too, or that theater room and then going into the front hallway where you come in. There was just a lot of activity all over in there. And then there was that big burn tower. They're supposed to knock that down. I don't know if they have or not, but that was kind of a crazy, weird place too. It had a weird feeling, but yeah, it was, I would go back there for sure, but not in the summer, not unless, like you said, but it sounds like they have, like I said, a big list of to-dos before they can allow anybody back in there. So I hope they
I hope they achieve it because
I do too.
It is, you know, it's one of those things that you just don't want to see more places go, mm-hmm. you know, get destroyed and fall apart and get mowed over for condos or whatever. It's, you know, it's sad.
Right.
So if they can find a way to make it work, I hope they do.
I do too.
I wish all those buildings success. And if this is how they can do it, then that's great. I would support that, you know, doing some investigating and contributing and all that. So.
Yeah, I think it would be awesome because so many people want to experience this stuff, you know, and why not just, you know, I don't know. It's better than just letting them fall down, really, you know, and then it's not good either because they're full of asbestos, right? So then it gets in the environment. So, yeah, I don't know. I think they all need to call those people that own Waverly Hills. What is their name? Tina Matting. I can't remember her name now, but they've done a great job with what they've gotten. So
I can't imagine how hard it would be, though. Mm. That would be so hard. You know, Four Paws, didn't that close here?
Yeah.
And I thought, and a couple of people actually approached me and said, you should buy it and run it as a paranormal, you know, investigation spot. And I'm like, oh, should I? Should I buy a house in downtown St. Paul? Should I? How in the world would I afford that? Why were you asking me to do this? Yeah. Like, find someone else that can do it. I don't have the time for that.
Oh, for
but
sure.
But it would be cool.
It would
you
be.
You know, to open that up for paranormal investigating every night, yeah. like that would be, yes. that would, because that place is fun. I've investigated there before and it's pretty active there. So mm-hmm. I would love to, or for someone to do it, you know, same thing yeah. up in the Grant House, right? In Rush
right.
City.
Right.
I don't know if that reopened. I know it closed a couple years ago.
I heard about that one. Yep.
And it's one of those things I can't imagine the upkeep, but if they could, you know, just open it. And that was open for investigations. I just don't think that they had a lot of, you know.
Because nobody knew about it. Yeah.
No, they didn't. It was never out there.
I've heard about that one. And so, you know, that one's been on my radar for a while too. And it was just one we never have gotten to. But there's a lot of places like that. You know, like I said, this Humbert Inn, what a crazy place. I'm telling you, crazy mm-hmm. active. So I'm hoping that, you know, Sim might do a few events there or something, you know, because I think, wow, if you can come to one of those, you won't be disappointed, you know, because it was a crazy active place. But the Grand House, yeah. And you know where else I would love to investigate? And they'll never open it up for a lot of parents. You know, have you ever been to the Hill Mansion over on Summit Avenue?
Mm-mm. I mean, not for an investigation.
Oh, no, me either. I mean, I've been there. I mean, we were there. I was there with Katie and Ladora and Jade, and all of us are paranormal investigators. And, oh, yeah, he's still there. James Hill is still there. Absolutely. I think his wife is probably still there, too. We all had that pervasive feeling that, you know, he was there. We took the tour, and we didn't take a tour. It was like guide yourself. You know, I think we were there in December, maybe last year. It was very fun. And we all said, geez, if we could just come back and do an overnight, wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, right. It'll never
that's
happen.
Like getting into the that's like getting into the tunnels over at the Anoka hospital.
I know.
I'd love to get there. That would be fun
for sure.
I mean, interesting, amazing. Not fun.
There's a lot of places, you know, just within the cities that are crazy active, and we know it. And for sure, wouldn't it be fun to do that? So sometimes you just got to pursue these things. You know, if you find one, you just got to.
Well, you pursue them until people tell you to stop.
Yeah, don't call me anymore.
That's what happened
don't
with Anoka anymore. Hospital. I met a couple of folks that said, oh, you should come investigate. There was a gal that came up to me at an expo and said, I work there. Could you investigate? Because weird stuff happens when we're at work. And I said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I eventually, my phone call stopped getting answered. And I'm thinking, well, because she didn't know that, you know, she probably thought, oh, I work here. They should come. And then when she went to someone that she needed to get permission, they were like, don't even start with us from the inside. We get enough of this from the outside. Yep. So, yeah, it went nowhere. I was sad.
Yeah. No, it's always good when they approach us. And that's like this Humburg place. They approach the sim crew, which is how they found out about it. But, yeah, just really fun. Really fun. So, wow. You know what? It's 8:56 already.
Or time 9:56. Flies when you're talking about paranormal investigating.
I know. So next week, we thought we would talk about maybe the reasons why these spirits stay and are tethered to Earth, right? I think there's probably a lot of reasons, but we thought it would be fun to chat them up and see what everybody else thinks.
Talking about investigating, and then next week, why are they here? What are they doing? All of that kind of interesting, you know, all the reasons that we might know of.
Yeah. Absolutely. So bring your stories and, you know, let us know. And you know, one of the other places, which now that we're spending so much time on the island, I have to get to is the mausoleum. You know, next time I'm out there, I'll go up there and we'll take
You won't course. Have an excuse.
Well, here's the thing. We're having our friends are going to be with us from Kentucky. So they want to see the whole island. So I will bring them, even if Casey doesn't want to go, I will bring them up to the mausoleum, because it is creepy, crazy. It's in the middle of a really old cemetery. And I'll take a bunch of pictures because it is crazy. And then I got to find out who owns it. And now that I know more locals, I might be able to find out, weasel my way in there for a nighttime visit.
There you
visit.
Go. Weasel your way in.
A nighttime visit. Let's put it that way. So anyhow, well, wow.
Do we plug our sibling show?
Yes.
Do you know what they're talking about tomorrow?
Yes. So tune in to the Calling Radio Show tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. I believe it's Paranormal Babble tomorrow night between the three of them. So kind of like, you know, we call our babbling kind of show is our paranormal smorgasbord. They call it Paranormal Babble. So,
which is next week for us.
Yeah.
No, the week after. Excuse me. We just talked about what was next week.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So join Jerry and those two girls, and I'm sure it'll be really a fun chat because, you know, they're all paranormal peeps, and so they have lots to talk about for sure.
Yep.
For sure. All right. Willow, of course, when she was on, you know, they want us to come down to New Orleans, which I think would be a gas. I think that would be to do, you know, and they have some hotel or something they want us to go to. So there's another one. There's another one on the list. But yeah, fun stuff. So anyway, another gathering done and over. So thanks everyone for joining us again. Thanks to the troops. If you're listening, be safe. Thanks for your service.
Absolutely. And everybody in the chat room, you're awesome. Thank you for all your contributions. And everybody listening, wherever you are, thank you for tuning in. Sarge, our most amazing producer as well. Thank you for always making us sound better than we do. And ParaX Radio Network hosting us. We love being here and thank you. And we look forward to next week.
Yes. Thanks, everyone. See you next week.
Good night, everybody.